Today's Amud is Beitza Mem Amud Beis. We're holding on Mem Amud Aleph by the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. So we finished our discussion now of the halachos of Tchum Shabbos, Tchum Yom Tov, and now we conclude the Masechta by going back to the way we started, Meina Psicha, the halachos of Muksa. So says the Mishnah, that Ein Mashkin V'Sheichten Es HaMidbariyos. That the halacha is that on Yom Tov, you're allowed to shecht an animal, you're allowed to do Melechas Eichel Nefesh, but you're not allowed to water or shecht midbarios. Midbarios are animals that were, so to speak, coming from the wild, and therefore, being that they're so far away, your das is not on these animals, and they're muksa, so even if you would have one of these animals that came to you for on Yom Tov, you would not be allowed to shecht such an animal, and the Mishnah adds you're also not allowed to give it to drink. We'll discuss the significance of that in the Gemara, but the Ikar idea is that you're not allowed to shecht it, you're not allowed to shecht one of these wild animals, and the reason being is because it's muksa, being that they live far away, so your das is not on them, and they're muksa. Avamashkin v'sheichten esabayasis. But you are allowed to give to drink, and you're allowed to shecht, but also it's domesticated animals. If you have an animal that grows up in the house, near the house, so that's something that your das is on it, it's not going to be a problem of muksa, and you could shecht such an animal, and you could also give it to drink. Again, we'll see the significance of that in the Gemara. And says the Mishnah that Eluain Bayasis, the following is considered Bayasis, Halanais Beir, the animals that they sleep in the city, those are considered domesticated, those are the Bayasis that are not Muksa, and Midbariyais are Halanais Be'afar, those that they sleep in the pasture, they sleep farther away, so those are considered Muksa, and those you're not allowed to shecht. So now says the Gemara, Lamali Lameimar Mashkin V'Sheichten. The Mishnah, the Ikar idea, the Ikar Chiddush of the Mishnah is a halach and hilchis muksa. Why does the Mishnah add in this idea of giving the animal to drink? Why is the Mishnah adding that in? Why are we discussing Mashkin V'Sheichten? So says the Gemara, Milsa Agav Orche Kamashmalan. The Mishnah is coming to teach us another Chiddush on the side, practical advice. The Lashki Inish Behemtoi V'Hadar Lishchai. That a person, when he wants to shecht an animal, he should first give it to drink. First you should give the animal to drink and then shecht the animal. Misham sircha demashcha, because then Rashi says then it makes it easier to skin the animal. If you give it to drink before you shecht it, so it's much easier to then afterwards take off the skin. So that's just the practical eitzah in a chanami. That's not one of the chidushim really in our Mishnah. The ikar chidush of our Mishnah was Allah and muksa, whether or not you're allowed to shecht the animal. But agav, the Mishnah threw in this idea of giving it to drink also. So now says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Elu ein midbariyos, the following are considered midbariyos, ve'elu ein bayasos, and the following is bayasos, meaning the Braisa is gonna explain what exactly the difference between midbariyos and bayasos are. The Mishnah said it very short. The Mishnah said that bayasos are the ones that sleep in the city, midbariyos are the ones that sleep in the afar. Now it says the Braisa in more details, that midbariyos, the ones that are far away, are kol sheyotzeitz bePesach. They're referring to the animals that they go out by Pesach. V'royos beAfar, and they go and they graze in the pasture. V'nichnasos beRevi'a Rishayna, and they don't come back into the city. They don't come back until the Revi'a Rishayna. We're going to have shortly in Maseches Tainis that the rain season, the winter, is divided into three zmanim. Each season is called the Revi'a. The first Revi'a is a certain amount of time into the winter. So the Tanakhama is saying that these midbariyos, they only come back by the Revi'a Rishayna, by that first rain. That's included in midbariyos. The Eluain Bayasais, the following are considered Bayasais, is Kol Sheyotzeis V'Royos Chutz L'Tchum. It's referring to these animals that they leave the tchum, they do leave the city, and they go and they enjoy themselves. However, but then ultimately, when it's time to go to sleep at night, they come back into the city. So those animals that they always make their way back to the city to sleep, so those are called bayasais. The ones that stay out of the city, and they only come back by the Revi'a Rishayna, so those are called midbariyos, those are ones that your das is not on. And even if one of those animals would happen to come back, it would be muksa. Only the bayasos, the ones that sleep in the tchum, those are considered mutter, those are not muksa. Which makes a lot of sense, being that they're inside the tchum. So it's not muksa. However, Rebbe Aimer, Rebbe's chaylik, And Rebbe says that no, Elu ve'elu bayasei say. That no, both of those categories are both bayaseis. Meaning even if they go outside the city and they only come back by the Revi'a Rishayna, that's still considered bayaseis. The Ella Elu hein midbaryais. Rather, so then what's considered midbaryais? If that's bayaseis, even if they come back by the Revi'a Rishayna, that's considered bayaseis. So then what's midbaryais? Says Rebbe, kol sheyotzeis ve'royais be'afar ve'ein says Rebbe, the ones that are midbaryos are the ones that they go out and they enjoy themselves outside the city and they don't come back at all, not during the summer, not during the winter, they never come back. So according to Rebbe, the difference between bayaseis and midbaryos is that bayaseis, they could go outside of the city as long as they eventually come back, even if it's after the Revi'a Rishayna. So that's bayaseis. Midbaryos are the ones that they always remain outside the tchum. Which now, if the Tanna Kamma, his chilik made a lot of sense. The Tanna Kamma was mechalik between the animals that they go and they sleep within the tchum or outside the tchum. So that makes a lot of sense. And nochus muksa, you know, the ones that sleep inside the tchum, so they're not muksa. The ones that stay outside, so they're muksa. Rebbe Shita is very difficult to understand. Rebbe says that even if they stay outside the tchum, but as long as they come back, like eventually after the Revi'a Rishayna, so then it's not muksa. It sounds a little interesting, but if it never comes back, so then it is muksa. Why should it be talui in that? That's a difficult svara to understand. Bezus Hashem, will get back to that at the end of this year. But Al-Kopanim, so says the Gemara now, so it's mashma now from the fact that Rebbe said his opinion on the matter. It's mashma that Rebbe holds a muksa. Right, this whole discussion seems to be only a libid Rabbi Yehuda if you hold a muksa. So then we're going to need to know. So now, which animals are muksa? It's all a discussion within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Now the question is: says the Gemara, "Umi isle l'Rabbi muksa? Does Rabbi really hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi holds a muksa. Is that really true? Rabbi doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. I thought we have that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Shimon. V'haboy minei Rabbi Shimon ba Rabbi me Rabbi. One time, Rabbi's son Rabbi Shimon." Not Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, not the Machlokes Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about Muksa, but Rebbe's son Rabbi Shimon. One time Rabbi's son asked him, Patsile Tamara Rabbi Shimon Mahu, what would Rabbi Shimon say in Hilchos Muksa with regards to these dates? There was a certain type of dates that they wouldn't get ripened on the tree. You would take them off the tree, put them into certain types of baskets, and then they would get ripe in the basket. So the shaila is are you Messiah Das from it? Is a Muksa according to Rabbi Shimon? So that was the shaila that Rebbe's son asked him. Rebbe's son asked him, what would Rabbi Shimon say in Hilchos Muksa regarding these dates? Are these dates Muksa or not? And Amar Lei, and Rebbe responded to his son that no, a Muksa l'Rabbi Shimon ela groy grace v'tzimukin belvad. That no, Rabbi Shimon's view of Muksa is very, very limited. He only has this one case of groy grace v'tzimukin. It's a case where a person has dates, he has figs, he has figs and he has grapes, and he wants to put them out to dry. So now, as in the beginning of the drying process, they become unedible, and then later they become dried. So now later, when they're figs, they'll be delicious. The problem is they become a little bit unedible in the middle. And being that says Reb Shimon, being that you be a dayim, you are daichid, be a dayim, you mamish, you put it onto your roof, and you saved it for a different time. So then even Reb Shimon agrees that those dates, that those figs rather, and those raisins, those grapes, that those are going to be considered muksa. But Al-Kalpanim, what do you see from here? You see that Rebbe's son asked him a question in Hilchos Muksa according to Reb Shimon, and Rebbe answered. So that's mashma that Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon. So we have a stira. On the one hand, it seems like from the fact that Rebbe weighed in on what's considered midbaryais and what's considered bayaseis, that Rebbe holds that those animals, the midbaryais animals, are considered muksa, which would seem to only be true according to Rebbe Yehuda. On the other hand, Rebbe weighs in and says that ein muksa l'Reb Shimon ela groygers v'tzimukin belvad, which is mashma that Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon. So which one is it? So says the Gemara, three terutzim. Says the Gemara, ibayis ema haninami k'groygers v'tzimukin dami. One teretz you could say is that the animals, that which Rebbe says, midbaryos are muksa, that's not going aliba to Rebbe Yehuda. Even Reb Shimon agrees that animals are muksa, that the midbaryos animals are muksa. It's like groy grace v'tzimukin. Midbaryos animals are as muksa as groy grace v'tzimukin. So just like Reb Shimon's maida, by Gregory Satsimukin that they're considered muksa, so too Reb Shimon's Maida by these midbarious animals that they're considered muksa. What's the comparison? We'll get back to that shortly. The Vayis Eima says the Gemara, another teretz, that no, really maybe they're not like Gregory Satsimukin. Midbarious are only muksa according to Reb Yehuda, but they're not like Gregory Satsimukin. Reb Shimon would say that the midbarious are not muksa, it's only muksa according to Reb Yehuda. And so, what are we going to do with this stira and Rebbe? L'dvarav d'Reb Shimon ka'amar, v'lei lei sfira lei. Rebbe's son asked him a shayla, what does Reb Shimon hold in Hilchos Muksa regarding these dates that you put into the baskets to make them ripened? So Rebbe answered him that no, according to Reb Shimon, the only thing that's Muksa is Gergers v'tzimukin. It's not a pshat that Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon. Rebbe was just saying what Reb Shimon would say. But really, Rebbe does not hold like Reb Shimon. V'bayisema, or you could say another teretz, again, assuming that midbarious animals are not comparable to Gregor's v'tzimukin, and they're only muksa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but l'divrayim d'rabanan ka'amar luhu. But Rebbe was just talking aliba d'rabanan, meaning like this, that really Rebbe holds a grip shimon, that ein muksa l'rab shimon el gregor's etzimukin belvad, Rebbe holds a grip shimon, that's why he quoted Reb Shimon, he holds a grip shimon. So what's our kasha? Our kasha is that, so then how could Rebbe weigh in by the midbar yais and by yasei shayla? Why is Rebbe weighing in over there? That would seem to be a case that's only nageya according to Rebbe Yehuda. So says the Gemara in Achanami. Rebbe holds a grip shimon. Why is he weighing in? He's just coming to argue on the Chachamim. That lididi, according to me, ain't muksa. I anyways hold it's not muksa. So it's not really nagei halach lemaisa to me. But I'm just asking a question on you. El lididchu, but even according to you, the Rabbanan, who clearly you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and you say that midbarios animals are going to be muksa, but but at least agree to me that when the animals come back, when they come back by the Revi'a Rishayna, at least agree to me, did Bayasai say that in such a case they should be classified as Bayasais, and even according to Rabbi Yehuda, they should not be Muksa. At least agree to me on that one. I don't hold of this whole shmooze. I hold the Reb Shimon that there's no Muksa. Even you who hold like Rabbi Yehuda, at least agree to me that in such a case they're considered Bayasais, Vamrule Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan hold that not. And they say that no, then no, Midbarya is saying that in such a case they're considered Midbarya's. So this last answer is saying that really Rabbi holds like Reb Shimon, and that which he weighed in by the animal shayla was just coming to argue on the Chachamim within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, but not that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Hadron alach meshilin peiros usalikala mesachas beitza. So we'll stop here, but just whoever is interested, so we'll just share some Geshmak Hashtikol Taira from Rabbi Yeshua Ehrenberg, the Mechaber of the Sefer Dvar Yeshua, Chubas Dvar Yeshua. He was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of the 1900s. Happens to be we just had Chanukah. Chanukah, the Dvar Yeshua gets a lot of airtime because he has a famous Chiddush on Chanukah. The Dvar Yeshua held that nowadays you're not Yaitse if you light Chanukah candles outside. So it's not Negev so much in Chutz La'aretz, but in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of people like to light outside, so it's often quoted during Chanukah time, this Chiddush of the Dvar Yeshua, that the Dvar Yeshua held that no, when Chazal said, because of the matzav that they were in, that now you should light inside, that you shouldn't light outside anymore, they were Iker the mitzvah. They were Iker the mitzvah. They said that there's no more mitzvah of lighting outside anymore. For now on, the mitzvah is only to light inside. And he held that even in Eretz Yisrael, where a lot of people like to light outside, the Dvar Yeshua held that you're not Yaitze the mitzvah. Chazal were Iker the mitzvah of lighting outside, and for now on you're only able to light inside. But Al Kobanim, so when it comes to our sugya over here, so the Dvar Yeshua has a tshuva in Chelek Hay of Dvar Yeshua, in the back, in Yanim Shainim and Simen Vav, and he writes as follows. He writes to a certain Chabura that had just finished Maseches Beitza. He writes he's sorry that he couldn't make it to join in on the Siyam. Seems like he was accustomed to joining them. He was usually with them, but at this Siyam of Maseches Beitza, he couldn't be with them. So he said, I can't be with you. At least let me share a Shtekel Torah with you that's going to connect the end of the Masechta, this Gemara that we just had, with the beginning of the Masechta. So he brings this Gemara that the Gemara asks the Stira and Rebbe, does Rebbe hold it Rebbe Yehuda? Does Rebbe hold it Reb Shimon? On the one hand, he seems to say that these animals, the Midbarios, are Muksa. On the other hand, he quotes Reb Shimon that ain muksav l'Rab Shimon, ela grey grace v'tzimukin belvad. And the Gemara gives three terutzim. Terutz number one, that the midbarios animals are like grey grace v'tzimukin. Terutz number two, they're not like grey grace v'tzimukin, but Rebbe really holds like Rebbe Yehuda. And he was only just saying what Rab Shimon would hold about the case of the dates. And then the third terutz is that Rebbe, is that also again, that grey grace v'tzimukin and midbarios are not comparable, but Rebbe holds like Rab Shimon. And that which he weighed in on the animal shayla by midbarios, he was just saying what Rabbi Yehuda should hold in such a case. So now ask the Dvar Yeshua, why is the Gemara giving so many terutzim? And so you'll say, okay, fine. So the Gemara's first terutz is that Midbar Yois are comparable to Gregor's Tzimukin. Okay, fine. So now first of all, let's know, what's the comparison? Why should these Midbar Yois animals be like Gregor's Tzimukin? And if we have a good comparison, so then why does the Gemara then fall off of that? The Gemara then says a second terutz that really they're not the same, and Midbar Yois are only Muksa according to Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Shimon would not hold that they're muksa. So what happened? Are they comparable to Gregor Setzimukin? Or are Midbar Yois not comparable to Gregor Setzimukin? So obviously there's a svara to say this way, and there's a svara to say that way. So what's the svara? What's exactly going on in this whole Gemara? Also, the Dvar Yeshua points out, what we pointed out in the middle of the shir, that Rebbe Shita is very schwer in terms of what he holds about Midbar Yois. The Chachamim make a lot of sense. The Tanakhama says that it depends. If the animal comes inside the Tchum when it goes to sleep, so then it's not Muksa. If it sleeps outside the Tchum, so then it is Muksa. Rebbe sort of like blurs the lines a shtickle. He says that even if it's outside of the Tchum, it depends, does it come back by the Revi'a Rishayna or not? Why should it be telling in that? Why is that going to determine whether or not these animals are muksa? So says the Dvar Yeshua that he learned the answer to this last question about what's the pshat and Rebbe, what's the difference between Revi'a Rishayna and an animal that never comes back. He said that he learned the answer to this last question from a farmer. It seems that the farmer was once talking to him, Lefisumai, Jastam, they were shmoozing. And the farmer mentioned to him that there's different types of animals, and the farmer mentioned that there's a type of animals that a farmer would have that the tachlis of them, of these animals, is just for fertilizer. You don't use them, you don't milk them, you don't do anything with them. You don't eat them. They stay outside the city at all times, the farmer said. They never come into the city. They stay completely outside the city. And all they're used for is that any time now that you need fertilizer, so you'll have fertilizer on demand. You'll go outside the city, exactly where these animals are, and beautiful, you'll have fertilizer. So now, said the Dvar Yeshua, based off of that, we can understand the Shita of Rebbe. Rebbe differentiates between animals that come in by the Revi'a Rishayna and animals that stay out at all times. It's not about the time. Says the Dvar Yeshua, it's not about because this animal is out for longer and this animal is out for shorter. It's not about the time. The type of animal that never comes back in is not a regular animal. It's an animal that's not Aimei D'Achila. The animal that stays out of the Tchum forever and always stays outside, that's the animal that you have for fertilizer. It's not an animal that's Aimei D'Achila. That's why it's Muksa. Not just because Stam in time, it's out for very long. It's because it's a whole different type of animal. It's the type of animal that you don't eat. It's the type of animal that you just use for fertilizer. So then, such an animal, being that you just use it for fertilizer, it's not Aimid La'achila, so that's why Rebbe holds that in such a case, then the animal is Muksa. If it comes back Bervi Rishayna, so then yeah, it's out for a long time, but at the end of the day, it's Aimid La'achila. It's not one of those fertilizer animals. But the animals that never come back, it's just the fertilizer. And therefore, it's not Aimid La'achila, that's why it's muksa. So now it makes sense, says the Dvar Yeshua. Now it makes sense, the Gemara's first teretz. Now it makes sense, that which the Gemara wants to compare the Midbar Yois animals to Gregoris with Simukin. Gregoris and Simukin are also fit for eating when you first put them on the roof. And even when they dry a little bit, so we had earlier in the Masechta that they're edible a little bit, not so much, but they are a little bit edible. It's just that they're better once they're dried. So now what's the pshat that Gregor said Simukin are muksa? So says the Dvar Yeshua, they're muksa, because being that, even according to Reb Shimon, they're muksa. So says the Dvar Yeshua, the reason why Reb Shimon's maida by Gregor said Simukin is because, you know, it's one thing like a hammer, you know, something else that you just don't have a use for. So then Reb Shimon holds it's not muksa, because maybe you'll come up with a use. Things that maybe you'll come up with a use for it. So then Reb Shimon says, is your das is on everything, maybe I'll come up with a use. But something which you specifically have a different use for, something that you specifically designate for a different use, that you're not so easy to then change your mind and come up with a use that you're going to use it now on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So Gregus at Simukin, being that you specifically have a different use, you want it to be a dried fruit, so then you're not going to change your mind so easily. Buy a fruit that's just stam, maybe it's not so gishmak, so your das is on everything. But this, that you specifically have das for it to be something different, so then you're not so easy to change your mind, that even Reb Shimon agrees is muksa. So now says the Dvar Yeshua, the same thing would apply now to these midbarius animals. These midbarius animals that never come in, we're saying now that what's the pshat? The pshat is that you have them as a fertilizer. You have them as a fertilizer, they're not aymed la'achila. So it's not just tam that they're not aymed la'achila. You specifically designate them to be fertilizers. So being that you're specifically designating them to be things that are for a different use, you're not so easy to change your mind. It's mamish just like Gregor said Simukin, and that's why they're muksa. So that's the pshat in the Gemara's first teretz, that the Gemara compares Gregor said Simukin to the Barrios animal. Now, it's still not a perfect comparison. Why not? The answer is because by Gregor's and Simukin, when he sets them aside to dry, there's a stage where they actually become worse. When you have, let's say, the figs, the grapes, you put them on the roof, right now it's a delicious fruit. You put them out to dry, and so you're putting them out for a different use, but it's not just a different use, there's gonna be a stage in the middle where it actually becomes worse, where it becomes not so geschmack to eat it before it's fully dried. That's by Gregus with Simukin. And being that at that time there's going to be a stage where it's worse, so now again, it's going to be eventually better, but being that there's a stage where it's worse, so maybe we say that at that point now it's not considered like food anymore. So that's why it's muksa according to Reb Shimon. But that far is not going to apply to the midbarious animals. By the midbarious animals, when you set them aside for a different use, it never becomes worse. It never becomes a worse animal just because you set it aside now to be used as a fertilizer. So really the comparison is not so perfect. Now the shaila is how much do we care about this chilek? So says the Dvar Yeshua, it seems to be a machlaikis and meseches brachis, whether or not this chilek is significant. He says, he brings the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, which discusses what bracha to make on flour. You have wheat, you crush it up into flour. What bracha do you make on the flour? So wheat is hadama. Do you make a hadama on the flour as well? So says Rav Yehuda, the Amayra, says in Meseches Brachos, that yeah, you make a hadama, just like wheat. However, Rav Nachman says that no, you make a shahakal. Now the Gemara brings that even Rav Nachman agrees that olive oil, if you squeeze an olive for the oil, so now the oil, if you want to eat the oil plain, so you make ha'etz. So now why should flour not be hadama then? If you're telling me that when it comes to olives, when you squeeze it into oil, that it's ha'etz, so it would seem to be that if you would make the comparison, it should come out that if you have wheat and you crush it up and you have flour, so now that flour is hadama. Says Rav Nachman, no, it's different. Why? Because by olive oil, that's the final product. You start off with the olive, you squeeze it into oil, that's the final product. So we view the oil as it's the original thing as well. It's also going to be ha'etz. However, when it comes to wheat that you turn into flour, that's not its final stage. Flour is not something in and of itself. You're going to then turn it into bread. So being that it was wheat, then you made it became worse. Now it's flour. And then it's going to be bread again later. So now we view it when it's flour, like it lost its shame wheat. It's not considered like wheat anymore. And it's not yet considered bread. So says Rav Nachman, therefore you make a shahakal. So now, based off of this, we can explain what the second teretz of the Gemara now. That's the second teretz and the first teretz. The first teretz of the Gemara was comparing the midbarios animals to Gregor's with Simukin. Says that Dvar Yeshua, that's only a libra de Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Yehuda doesn't give significance to the fact that there's a stage in the middle where it's worse. So Rav Yehuda would say also that by the Gregor's with Simukin, even when it loses its taste a little bit and it's not so geschmack, it's still considered the Gregus at Simukin. Afal Pikin, Reb Shimon says it's muksa. Why? Simply because of the fact that you're designating it for a different use for later. If so, the same will apply to midbarios. Midbarios animals will also be muksa according to Reb Shimon. And we could compare the midbarios to the Gregus at Simukin. The second teretz of the Gemara, says the Dvar Yeshua, is going according to Rav Nachman. According to Rav Nachman, the fact that the Gregus and Simukin become a shtickle unedible in the middle, that's significant. It loses its whole shame. So that's why Reb Shimon holds that Gregus at Simukin are muksa. You can't compare that to midbarios. Midbarios animals, that doesn't become worse. worse just because you send them away? And if so, there's no comparison between the Midbar Yois animals and the Gregers with Tzimukim. Now, what's the pshat in the third teretz? So here's where the Dvar Yeshua brings us back to Daf Beis. On Daf Beis, the Gemara mentioned, we were discussing the case of the Beitza that's Nolda B'Yamtiv, and the Gemara is trying to figure out what was the hen, what was the mother originally for? Was the hen for Achila? Was the hen Legado Beitzim? And Rav Nachman's pshat in the Gemara, Rav Nachman was the first pshat on Beis and Aleph, Rav Nachman said that really it's a tarnegoiles ha'imedes legadol beitzim. It's oime legadol beitzim. It's not for achila. The hen is for being megadol beitzim. And so we asked, if so, so then the egg should be muksa. And we're saying, no, the egg is nailad, and it's gufa tali, the machlekes, Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rav Shimon, the lesle muksa, so he's also lesle nailad. And according to Beis Hillel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's isle muksa, he's also isle nailad. And explained Rav Nachman, that Beis Shammai holds like Rav Shimon, and Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And we explained that that's only by Hilchos Yomtif. Yomtif, which is more kal, Yomtif, which people look at like it's more kal, so therefore Beis Hillel is more machmir on muksa, and Beis Hillel says that the halacha is like Reb Shimon, whereas when it comes to Shabbos, which is more chomer, then Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, whereas opposed to Shabbos, which is more chomer, so then Beis Hillel says that that's when the halacha is like Reb Shimon. But again, so the Gemara says that according to Reb Nachman, the machlaik is about tarnegoilas haimedas legado beitzim, and the machlaikas in the Mishnah Beishame Beisila, whether or not you could eat the egg, was the machlaikas in Hilchos Muksa, in Hilchos Nailad. Are you allowed to eat the egg? So then the Gemara asked on Daf Beis and Mabeis, now wait a second. If the whole machlaikas in the Mishnah is just about Muksa, so why argue about the egg? Why not argue about the mother? Argue about the chicken? Argue about the tarnegoilas? And say that according to Beis Shammai, you're allowed to eat the tarnegoilas, even though it's a medes legadol beitzim, whereas according to Beis Hillel, you're not allowed to eat the tarnegoilas because it wasn't oimed l'achila, so it's muksa. And it's again, it's going to be tali in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So why don't we make that, why doesn't the Mishnah argue about the tarnegoilas? And because of that kasha, the Gemara is taka madcha the teretz of Rav Nachman. Because if Rav Nachman's right, that the whole machlekes in the Mishnah is that Beis Shammai holds like Reb Shimon, and that's why he says you can eat the egg, and Beis Hillel holds like Reb Yehuda, and that's why they say you can't eat the egg, so then talk about the chicken, and say that according to Beis Shammai, being that he holds like Reb Shimon, you could eat the chicken, and according to Beis Hillel, you can't eat the chicken. However, now based on what we've said, so then based on our Gemara really, we have a kasha on that base. If we're going to compare animals to Gregers at Tzimukin, according to the first teretz of our Gemara, that midbarios are like Gregers at Tzimukin, being that you designated them to be fertilizer animals, they're not oimed la'achila, and that even Rav Shimon holds that such a thing is muksa, being that you have a different use for it. So that's like Gregers at Tzimukin now, and that's considered muksa. If so, so then the tarnegoiles hayumedas legado beitzim, so then that's to be muksa even according to Rav Shimon. Being that you don't have it l'achila, you have it for a different use. What's the difference if you have it for a fertilizer or you have it to raise eggs? Being that you have it legado beitzim, you have it for a different use, so then even Rav Shimon should hold that the tarnegoiles is muksa. Even Rav Shimon should agree that the tarnegoiles is muksa, and if so, so how could the Gemara say that if Rav Nachman's right, so we should have had the machlaikas about the tarnegoiles? No, I'll tell you why we don't have the machlaikas about the tarnegoiles. Because when it comes to the tarnegoiles, so then everybody's maida. Even Rav Shimon is maida that it is considered muksa. Because being that you have a different use for it, so that's like Gregers with Tzimukin. But even Rav Shimon is maida that it's muksa. So what's the Gemara's kasha? What's the answer? The answer is that that the Gemara compares Midbarios to Gregers at Tzimukin, we proved from the Gemara in Brachos, is only true according to Rav Yehuda. However, according to Rav Nachman in Brachos, and it's Rav Nachman and Beitz on Daf Beis, according to Rav Nachman in Brachos, there's no comparison between Gregers at Tzimukin and Midbarios. So it's beautiful. So the Gemara is asking Rav Nachman, Lishitasoi. Lishitasoi, there's no comparison between Gregers at Tzimukin and Midbarios. It's not about the fact that you have a different use. Gregers at Tzimukin are extra muksa because of the fact that it becomes unedible in the middle. If so, so then the Gemara is a good kasha on Rav Nachman. The Gemara is a good kasha that if the whole machlekes is about muksa, so why not talk about the hen? Why are you talking about the eggs? Okay, so the Gemara Lamaisa rejects Rav Nachman. And now the Shaila is, when the Gemara rejects Rav Nachman, and so now what's the halacha though? Meaning, what's the halacha when it comes to muksa? Rav Nachman said, Yesoid, that on Shabbos, being that Shabbos is chamer, we paskin in Hilchos muksa like Rav Shimon, the lesser muksa, and Yom Tov, which is kal, so we're more machmir, and we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The shaila is does that remain lemaskana? That wasn't Rav Nachman's etzem yisoid. It happens to have been something that Rav Nachman said. So when the Gemara rejects the shita of Rav Nachman, what do we hold about muksa? Do we still say with regards to muksa that the halacha on Shabbos is like Reb Shimon de Lasle muksa, and the halacha on Yom Tov is like Rabbi Yehuda de Isle muksa? How do we paskin with regards to muksa? So the Dvar Yeshua says that L'chaira, it's going to be totally in the Shaila that we had in the beginning of this parak, the Gemara de Shaila, when it came to taking the fruits down, how many fruits you could take down, and we brought up the case of the boxes and Shabbos, and the Gemara had a lot of different types of Shailas, all centered around the fact is, of do we treat Shabbos more chamer, or do we treat Yom Tov more chamer? That was basically the Shaila, and the Gemara ended off with a teku, so really it's a suffix. So now, says the Dvar Yeshua, that's the three terutzim in our Gemara now. Now we can read it back inside. Says the Gemara and the Kasha, that Rebbe seems to hold like of a hold of Muksa. He comments about the Sugya of Midbar Yos, and he says that the ones that stay out of the city the entire year, so they're muksa, the fertilizer animals, they're muksa. On the same, but then also then Rebbe mentions the sheet of Reb Shimon, that a muksa the Reb Shimon, ela gregers vitzimukim bilvat. So says the Gemara in Teretz number 1, which we said is only according to Rav Yehuda in Brachis, that ibayisema hani nami gregers vitzimukim dami. That really we could compare the midbarius animals to gregers vitzimukim. Both of them, they're things that you set aside for a different, better use, and therefore for their muksa, and by both of them, Reb Shimon's might that it's muksa. So really, Rabbi holds it Reb Shimon. Just Gregor's, just Midbarius animals are muksa, even according to Reb Shimon. Or we said, says the Gemara, Vibayisema second teretz, meaning we're going to assume that they're not comparable, because we're going to go like Rav Nachman and Brachis. That being that it gets worse in the middle, so then it loses its whole shame. That's why Reb Shimon holds that Gregor's and Simukin are muksa. That's not comparable to Midbarius at all. So says the Gemara, so we're back to the Stira, and on that the Gemara says, now two different terutzim, meaning the second and third teretz are all in the assumption that Gregor's at Simukin and Midbarius are not comparable. They're not comparable like Rav Nachman and Brachis, but still says the Gemara two terutzim. Why is there still two more terutzim in the Gemara? Because we have this suffix in Hilchos Yom Tov, and we're discussing Yom Tov now, do we paskin like Reb Shimon, or do we paskin like Reb Yehuda? So therefore the Gemara wants to say a teretz that works both according to Reb Shimon, and a teretz that works according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the second teretz of the Gemara is that Rabbi Shimon is a dvar of the Rabbi Shimon Kamarle. That Rabbi Shimon, that really Rabbi Paskin's like Rabbi Yehuda in Hilchos Muksa on Yom Tov. That we Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. That being that Yom Tov is more kal, so we have to be more machmer in Hilchos, on Hilchos Yom Tov, and we Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And that which Rabbi mentioned, a muksa Rabbi Shimon al Gregus at Simukin, that was just Ladivri Rabbi Shimon. And says the Gemara, third teretz, and no, maybe in Hilchos Yom Tov we Paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Maybe we completely rejected Rav Nachman's Shita, and maybe in Hilchos Yom Tov we paskin like Rav Shimon de Lesle Muksa. Ah, so why did Rebbe weigh in about the Midbar Yos? Ledvarav ledvreim derabanan kamar luhu. That's the Gemara's three terutzim, beautifully explained by the Dvar Yeshua.